Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. President Barack Obama is back in the Golden State, hitting up donors for campaign cash. Last night, he made two home visits in Los Angeles, the second at the home of Melanie Griffith and Antonio Banderas, which counts as his first Latino-focused fundraiser. That party was $5,000 ahead to attend, but the president did make an earlier pit stop at Roscoe's, the popular chicken and waffles chain where patrons got to shake his hand for free. Today, the president tapes a chat on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno before heading north to San Francisco. California prides itself on being a green state, but the state's largest metropolitan area still depends on coal to keep the lights on. As Lauren Summer reports, there's a lot of political pressure on the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power to wean itself off coal, but the DWP is changing on its own timetable. To most Californians, this is a foreign sight. The San Juan Generating Station is a massive coal-fired power plant in the dry desert of northern New Mexico, capped with four towering smokestacks.
We currently have Unit 4 offline, but Units 1, 2, and 3 are operating at full load.
Pat Thiemig is vice president of generation for PNM, the New Mexico utility that runs the plant.
If you see the line where the stack is, everything going behind that is scrubber.
Those scrubbers remove pollutants from the air emissions, but PNM has struggled to meet air quality standards. And last month, the Environmental Protection Agency ordered the plant to install new pollution control equipment. How this affects California? Well, the answer starts here at the power substation.
From there, the power from our step-up transformer goes out and it gets distributed to various lines.
Power lines that go to New Mexico, Arizona, and California. Electricity from this coal plant is used by half a dozen cities in Southern California.
People would be very surprised to know, particularly in Los Angeles, that historically more of our electricity comes from coal-fired power than any other source.
Evan Gillespie is with the Sierra Club's Beyond Coal campaign.
Several decades ago, Los Angeles made a number of bad bets on coal-fired power plants, that would be the way of the future. That has clearly turned out to not be the case.
Gillespie is talking about one particular utility, the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power, or DWP. It's the largest municipal utility in the country. Ron Nichols is the general manager.
We get about 40% today from coal, and that is all out-of-state coal.
It comes from coal-fired power plants in Arizona and Utah. Historically, coal has been attractive to utilities for two reasons. It's reliable and cheap.
Coal tends to come in around 5 to 6 cents per kilowatt hour. Our renewable portfolio today is around about 11 cents.
But that's changing, according to Nichols and most of the energy industry. Renewable energy is getting cheaper, while coal is getting more expensive due to stricter air pollution rules. DWP also has one more reason to get off coal.
Today, I'm directing the CEO of the Department of Water and Power to take every action necessary to reach these goals and eliminate the use of coal by 2020.
That's Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa in a speech 2 years ago. But unlike local politicians, meeting that 2020 goal isn't something DWP managers have committed to. That's because their contract with the Utah coal plant isn't up until 2027. Nichols says ending it early is difficult because they have to negotiate with the plant's many owners. But perhaps the bigger challenge is that coal power has to be replaced with something else.
Within a decade and a half, we're going to have replaced on the order of 70% of our total power supply. And for a utility that thinks in decades, that's rocket fast.
DWP has to generate a third of its electricity from renewable sources by 2020, according to state law. But the problem with solar and wind power is it fluctuates. So utilities use electricity from natural gas plants to fill in power gaps. But DWP has a problem there, too.
And if we walk out here, I'll show you how we get the ocean water.
The Haines Generating Station is a hulking natural gas power plant on the coast in Long Beach. DWP Projects Manager Nazi Batarse says it's more than 50 years old.
And now for these old power plants, we use ocean water for cooling, and then we return it back into the ocean.
It's called once-through cooling, and almost 700 million gallons of seawater is pumped through this gas-fired power plant every day. That water holds fish larvae and plankton that die in the process. So last year, the State Water Resources Control Board ruled that coastal power plants must switch to a new cooling method over the next decade.
It's a huge project. It is something that requires us to take plants down, plant by plant, and completely rebuild them.
Ron Nichols says rebuilding three natural gas plants will cost DWP $2.2 billion. The utility recently convinced the Water Board to give it more time. Add that to investing in more renewable energy and moving away from coal power, and it's a challenging time for the utility.
It is a transition that every utility in the country will make.
Evan Gillespie of the Sierra Club says Los Angeles's challenges are a snapshot of what utilities around the country will be facing as the country gradually puts national global warming rules in place. He says those that embrace renewable energy first will benefit the most.
A lot of these investments, while they create a lot of jobs that we desperately need, these are also investments that are going to modernize the utility. And I think the opportunity here in Los Angeles is to help provide that roadmap to help these other utilities around the country manage that transition.
For the California Report, I'm Lauren Sommer in Los Angeles.
A pioneer in the field of artificial intelligence. In fact, the man who coined the term has died. Amy Standen has the details.
Before John McCarthy, people thought of computers as sort of like fancy calculators, says writer Jaron Lanier.
You'd use them to break a secret code, maybe, or to calculate where a missile was going to land. But nobody thought of them as being capable of translating human languages or recognizing a human face, or automatically driving a car.
In other words, John McCarthy was one of the first to realize that computers could function somewhat like human brains. McCarthy became a professor at Stanford in 1962. Lanier says he bore more than a passing resemblance to Colonel Sanders and got a kick out of attracting double takes as he passed Kentucky Fried Chicken on El Camino Real. Early in his career, McCarthy invented the influential Lisp computer language, which laid the foundation for voice recognition technology, including the Siri app on new iPhones. He also did some of the earliest thinking on cloud computing. McCarthy was 84 years old. For the California Report, I'm Amy Standen.
That's the California Report for Tuesday, October 25th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. The California Endowment, building healthy communities because that's where health happens. More information at calendow.org. And Chevron, investing in renewables, strengthening communities, and creating jobs. More information available at chevron.com.